Have you ever been laughed at? You ever been scoffed? Was that like one of the worst feelings you ever had? Have you ever been ashamed? Have you ever been embarrassed when somebody laughed at you? Do you think Jesus was ever ashamed? All that Jesus endured, all that Jesus went through, was there ever a time when Jesus was laughed at? Was there ever a time in Jesus' life when somebody scoffed at Him? There were individuals who set out as their intent, who set out as their goal to destroy Jesus. That was their goal. It's what they wanted to do. And so at every turn, they were trying to destroy Him. Not only physically, but they were going to do it emotionally. They were going to do it mentally. Any way that they could, they were going to take Him down. Do you believe that Jesus was ever embarrassed? Do you believe that He was ever ashamed of His mission? Of who He was? Of what He came to do? Of the truth that He stood for? When you read through your New Testament, it becomes very obvious that Jesus was not ever ashamed. And this morning I want us to look in Hebrews chapter 2. And I want us to look at some things that show to us a man who is not ashamed. And as we look through Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 through 12 this morning, I want you to realize that when Jesus came to this earth, it was not for Him. It was for us. When He left His home in heaven, He did not leave there for Him. He left there for us. And so as we go through this lesson this morning, throughout the slides and throughout the points that we make this morning, there are going to be those two words on the end of a number of statements today. He did it for us. And the reality is, all the while, He was never ashamed to do it. When you look in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the first thing that we're going to see this morning is that Jesus was not ashamed to humble Himself for us. Look in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, the passage that was read to us, where the Bible says, "But we see Jesus." He wasn't Jesus until He came to this earth. He wasn't Jesus until He was born to Mary. But we see Jesus. What does that indicate? He is in human form. We see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. When God came to this earth, this is an amazing thought. When God came to this earth, He lowered Himself to human existence. He lowered Himself below the angels. Your translation may say a little lower, or your translation may say for a little while. He made Himself lower than the angels, and He did it for us. Philippians 2 and verse 6 says that He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation, and He did it for us. When God came to this earth, Imagine living below your standards. You think Jesus was living below His standards when He came to this earth? You think about the glory that He had in heaven and He comes down to this earth. He lowered His living standards. And He did it for us. And the Bible never indicates to us that He was ever ashamed to do it. You drop down and looking later on in this chapter, and it talks about the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 2, how Jesus, in verse 17, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren. Jesus took on everything that there is to be a human. He took on the weaknesses that you have as a human. He took on the limitations that you and I have as humans. He took on the sicknesses and the ailments that we have as humans. He took on the fact that just as we are tempted, He, God, was tempted to do evil. And all the while, the Bible indicates that He is doing this for us. Can you imagine Jesus ever being ashamed? Can you imagine Him ever saying, "You know what? Wait a minute. I'm God. I don't deserve this. I didn't come down here for this. I'm above this. I'm so embarrassed. I'm ashamed by what's happened. I don't deserve this." Can you imagine Jesus ever being ashamed to have humbled Himself for us? The Bible indicates that maybe Jesus was ashamed of others in their behavior, but it never indicates that He was ashamed of Himself, that He was ashamed of who He was, of who He had become, and He did it for us. Brethren, we need to come to the point in our lives where we say, "I am not ashamed to follow Jesus. I am not ashamed to follow in His steps and to humble myself for Him." You know, when you become a Christian, the Bible says you've got to humble yourselves. In Matthew 18, Jesus looked at those children and He said, "Unless you humble yourself and become as one of these children." In fact, He not only said that you needed to humble yourselves, but He said, "Unless you are converted, you've got to change. You've got to turn around. Humble yourself and become as one of these children. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Some of us need to learn to humble ourselves before God. Learn to humble ourselves before others. To not think that we are any better than anyone else. To not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. But to recognize in the sight of God and in the presence of Jesus and in comparison to the Son of God, I am nothing. And if my Jesus could come here, and if He could humble Himself for me, what reason is there that I cannot humble myself for Him and not be ashamed to do it? The world will try to make you feel ashamed. The world will try to make you feel embarrassed for making that kind of decision. But don't compare yourself and don't look at that in comparison and in the eyes of the world. Look at it in the eyes of Jesus Christ Himself. But come back to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. And we're going to see that Jesus was not only not ashamed to humble Himself, He was not ashamed to suffer. And to suffer for us. Look in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, "It was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And if you go back up into verse 9, you're going to see that word suffering again. If you drop down to verse 18, you're going to see that word suffering again. "In that He Himself has suffered." And don't think that He just came down and He suffered at the hand of man just for Himself. He came down, the Bible says, and was mistreated by His own creation. Mistreated by those that He had created. And He was mistreated. And He suffered for us. Think about what Jesus went through. Jesus was insulted. Can you imagine anybody having the audacity to walk to the face of Jesus and insult Him to His face? Has anybody ever insulted you? Anybody ever put you down? How did you respond? 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 says, "When He was insulted, He did not revile, He did not insult in return." Isn't that what your temper wants to do? It's not what Jesus' temperament allowed Him to do. Jesus was insulted. He's God. He's God on this earth, and he was insulted, and he allowed himself to do it because of me. The Bible says that he was blasphemed. He's blasphemed for us. You look through the life of Jesus, and there's a number of occasions. Satan himself did it. When he's tempted Jesus, remember what Satan said? If you are the Son of God, what's that to say? I don't know that you really are. That's blaspheming God. To say, if you really are the Son of God. You remember when the soldiers had Jesus blindfolded? Remember when he was on trial and they had taken him and they blindfolded him? And then they began to shout and to say, prophesy. Who is it that struck you? That's blasphemy. He's the Son of God. They're mocking him for being a prophet of God. Remember when he's hanging on that cross? And they said, if you are the Christ, if you are the King, if you are the Son of God, save yourself. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. But yet he endured all of that suffering. He did it unashamedly. And he did it for me. He was rejected. He came unto his own received him not. He was rejected, and he went through all of that, and he did it for us. He was conspired against. You think about those individuals who sought opportunity at every turn to trip him up in his words, to catch him in saying something so that they could grab a hold of him and arrest him. You think about those when he was brought on trial. Remember what kind of witnesses they sought when they put Jesus on trial? You know, when you go in a courtroom today, when you go in a courtroom, do they still have this book in a courtroom, by the way? It's been a while since do they still have this book where you're supposed to lay your hand on this book? Imagine that in this country, laying your hand on this book. Well, why do they do that? Do you affirm that what you are, and lay your hand on this book, do you affirm that what you're about ready to say is the truth? What else? Whole truth and nothing but the truth. And you put your hand on the Bible so that we know you're telling the truth when you say you're going to tell us the truth. What kind of witnesses did they look for when they put Jesus on trial? Were they looking for witnesses to put their hand on a Bible? Were they looking for witnesses to say, I'm going to tell you nothing but the truth? The Bible tells us they weren't looking for the truth. They were looking for witnesses who would come and lie. Who would come and lie on the stand, in our terminology, who would come and lie before the judge in order to get Jesus crucified. And he went through all of that and did it for us. Jesus came to this earth and he was betrayed for us. He came to this earth and he was physically assaulted for us. Can you imagine standing there and watching somebody else spit in the face of Jesus? Can you imagine standing there and watching somebody putting together a crown made out of thorns and wrapping that together so that it would not come loose and tying it off tight together so that it would stay together? And can you imagine standing there and watching them smash it down on the head of Jesus? He did all of that for us. Can you imagine at any point in that Jesus ever saying, wait a minute, I don't deserve this. I'm God. I'm so ashamed. I can't believe I've allowed this to happen to me. I'm so embarrassed by what's happening. I just can't stay here. I can't put up with this. I need to get out of here. Can you imagine Jesus ever being ashamed for suffering for us? He never was. Brethren, we need to get to the point. I need to get to the point where I say, I am not ashamed to follow Jesus. I am not ashamed to suffer for Him. If I'm a child of God, am I going to suffer? Bible says I'm going to suffer. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, anyone who desires to follow after Christ, he's going to suffer persecution. Am I going to be insulted? Is there ever going to come a day when I am insulted for being a Christian? Is my name going to be blasphemed because I am a Christian? Is it possible that one day I could be conspired against because I am a Christian? Could the day come in this nation where I am physically assaulted because I am a Christian? Could I be betrayed by one of my friends because I am a Christian? I need to get to the point where whatever happens to me, come what may, the suffering that I endure from Christ, I am able to say, I am not ashamed. Because Jesus, because my Savior, my friend and my Lord, He was not ashamed when He endured it for me. He humbled Himself for me. Wasn't ashamed to do it. He suffered for me, and He was not ashamed to do it. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2, and we see that when Jesus came down to this earth, that He was not ashamed to be related to me. Do you have some people in your family? This is a loaded question. Do you have some people in your family that you're ashamed of? That you're ashamed to be related to them? Oh, yeah, that's my distant cousin. You know, we want to get them as far out as we possibly can. Yeah, that I'm related to them by marriage. Yeah, it's not my, it's her blood. It's not my blood. I just, you know, I'm not guilty. It's not me. Do you have anybody in your family that you just, it seems like I've heard of them before. Yeah, somewhere along the way, you know, I might have known them at some point in my life. Jesus, think about this. When we come to Hebrews chapter 2, the amazing statement, look at the end of verse 11, at this amazing statement where the Bible says that He who sanctifies, those who are being sanctified, are all one. We are one with Christ, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them humans, imperfect humans, sinful humans, yes, Christians, but still humans. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. That is an amazing statement. I am, as a child of God, related. I am a brother to Christ. He's the Son of God. I am a son of God. He is my brother, and He is not ashamed to call little, old, pitiful, sinful me, He's not ashamed to call me His brother. Sometimes when we are ashamed of somebody else, we don't want to be seen with them. Jesus is not ashamed to be seen with us. Lo, I am with you always. He's not ashamed to be seen with us. Bible says that He is not ashamed to be identified with us. Romans 8 is where it talks about the fact that we are joint heirs, fellow heirs of God. He's my brother, but He's not ashamed to be identified with me in that regard. He is not ashamed, the Bible says, to be united with me. When I am baptized, Romans chapter 6 says that I am united with Him in the likeness of His death. Verse 5 says, I'm buried with Him. Go to Romans 6 sometimes and look at the word with as it's used in those early verses. That I'm buried with Him. I'm raised with Him. I am united together with Him in the likeness of His death. And the Bible says, surely I will be also in the likeness of His resurrection. He's not ashamed to be seen with me, to be identified with me, to be united with me. He's not ashamed to worship with me. That next verse in verse 12 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. You know, sometimes there might be somebody in our family. We're kind of embarrassed to admit, yep, they're a part of my family. They're the black sheep of the family. They're this of the family. Yeah, they don't fit in with the rest of us. Can you imagine Jesus ever being ashamed? Ever being ashamed? The fact is that Jesus came to this earth in order that we could be related to Him. He came to this earth to sacrifice Himself, wanting us to be related to Him. But I do want you to see something. Look over in Mark chapter 8 for a minute. In Mark chapter 8, there's a very interesting statement that's made. The very last verse of Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. I want you to think about this in relationship to your relationship with the Lord. For whoever is ashamed, this is the words of Jesus, for whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus is speaking, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see, those with whom Jesus is not ashamed to be related are those children of God who obey him and faithfully follow him. But for anyone on this earth who chooses to be ashamed, to be associated with, to be related to be identified with the Son of God, Jesus says, then I will be ashamed of you. Which side of that coin do we want to be on? Which side of that relationship do we want to be on? I need to get to the point in my life as a child of God where I say unequivocally, I am not ashamed to be related to Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to follow Jesus. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. I am not ashamed that I'm related to Him, because He is not ashamed that He is related to me. Final thing I want us to see in Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus was not ashamed to humble Himself for us. Not ashamed to suffer for us. Not ashamed to be related to us. And then throughout this entire chapter, we see that Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. In verse 9, it talks about the suffering of death that He endured. In verse 10, it talks about making the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Through sufferings. In verse 11, it talks about He who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified are one. Well, how did He sanctify us? But by His blood. That's the only way that we are sanctified. Look down in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says, "Inasmuch then, children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself also shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." And down in verse 17, "Therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, in order that He might make propitiation for the sins of the people." The only way that we could have our sins atoned for, the only way that we could be justified in the eyes of God and have our sins removed, was for Jesus to die for us. What an incredible thought to have, that Jesus experienced something that was never designed for Him. Death. Jesus experienced something that was never deserved by Him. Separation from His God. The wages of sin is death. The word means separation. Isaiah 59 verse 2, "Your sins have separated you from God." And when all of the sins of all of creation were laid upon Jesus on that cross, He was separated. Something He never deserved is something He experienced for us, separation from His God. And He never allowed that knowledge to deter Him from His mission. When he came to this earth, he knew that was going to happen. When he came to this earth, he knew that he was going to die. But not just die physically. It wasn't just that Jesus was going to go through the experience of a physical death where his body ceased to function. Jesus was going to experience a separation from his Father in heaven. Not because of anything that he did, but because of everything that I do. My sins separated Jesus from his Father. Your sins separated Jesus from his Father. He came to this earth knowing that was going to happen, and he never altered his course. He stayed true. Stayed true to God, stayed true to his word, stayed true to his mission. He stayed true to us. And when it came to that cross, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, he despised the shame of it. There was a curse associated with crucifixion. Unlike anything that we can think of today, there was a curse associated with being crucified. And the Bible says Jesus looked at that curse. He looked at the shame associated with somebody hanging on a cross. And he said, I despise that shame. That shame means nothing to me. But the other part of that verse says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy? What joy was set before him? Some have said, the joy of going back to his Father. Okay, sure, that's a joy set before him. He endured the cross. But he already had that. Why did he come here? Why would he ever leave heaven if that was the joy? He's already got that joy in heaven. Why come here? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why he died. That was the joy set before him. Part of it was to save us from our sins. Can you imagine Jesus ever being ashamed of that? Can you imagine Jesus ever saying, wait a minute, crucifixion? Oh, I'm God. I don't deserve that. I'm above that. No way. I'm not going to be crucified. Can you imagine Jesus ever being ashamed to die for us? Amazingly, he was not. Amazingly, he went to that cross determined to lay down his life for you and me. Brethren, I need to get to the point. You need to get to the point. I need to get to the point where I say, I am not ashamed. Shame is a man-made emotion. Shame is a man-made, is something that I create within me. You know what? I am not ashamed to be a Clemson football fan who lost the national championship. I'm not ashamed of that. You know why? I'm not a Clemson football fan. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be a Carolina Panther fan losing the Super Bowl. You know why? I'm not a Panther fan. But what if I was a Panther fan? What if I was a Clemson fan? Sometimes we walk tall for our football teams. I need to come to the point as a Christian, I'm not ashamed, come what may. No matter what the devil does, the world does, my enemies do, I am not ashamed. I will not allow that man-made shame to come upon. I will not allow man to impose that shame upon me. I will gladly give my all to my Lord because he did it for me. Is that where you are today? Is that the kind of faith, the kind of heart, the kind of devotion that you have today? It says Jesus was not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to humble himself for me. I don't need to be ashamed to humble myself for Him. Jesus was not ashamed to suffer for me. I should never be ashamed to suffer for Him. Jesus was not ashamed to be related to me. He is not ashamed to be related to me. I must not be ashamed that I'm related to Him. Jesus was not ashamed to make the ultimate sacrifice for me. I must not be ashamed to make whatever sacrifice He calls upon me to make. Is that where you are today? Are you a Christian today? You know, Jesus is, He is not ashamed to save those who will unashamedly come to Him. Who will unashamedly come to Him and to say, there's no way I can save myself. I need Jesus. I've dug myself a hole deep enough in my own sin. I cannot get out of it on my own. I've got to have Jesus to do that. You know, coming to Christ for salvation is not just a realization that I need the best gift that's out there, and so I'm going to come to the best giver who's going to give it. It is a realization that I cannot do it on my own. I cannot save myself from one single solitary sin. I cannot take one single step closer to heaven on my own. I've got to have Christ for that. This morning, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? He died on that cross for your sins. That He was raised from the dead the third day. Do you believe that that happened? That He did that for you? Is that faith so strong in your heart that you want to make up your mind today that says, I want to stop doing wrong and I want to start doing what's right. I want to stop serving self and sin and Satan and start serving my Savior. Is that where you are today? That's where your heart is today. And you can do just as they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that is in your heart. And you can be immersed into Christ, buried in water just as Jesus was buried in that tomb, raised from the water just as Jesus was raised from that grave, to walk a new life, having all of your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. If you've never done that, we urge you to do that today. There's water here that's ready. There's garments here that are ready. There are people here that are ready. Question is, are you ready to do that? You ready to give your life to the Lord today and from this day forward to unashamedly serve Him every day of your life? Are you a Christian today? More importantly, are you a faithful Christian today? If this church can help you to walk out of these doors ready to meet your Lord, ready to go to heaven, please come right now as together we stand and sing.